Okay. All right. So I guess we'll just start down the row here. We'll answer each question, and then we'll each one take a chance to answer the question. And don't be too long-winded. I know all three of you, and some of you.
Why are you looking at me?
I was actually trying to look through you to my brother David over there.
Okay, good, good. I gotta get out of the way. I'm sorry. I didn't
really yeah. But you too.
Thank you. I resemble that.
So there's three sets of questions. Just so the folks here, we have a lot of new people in Joint Airs, I think, over the last few years. And I think it's a good idea just for them to get to know you guys. And I, you know, John Street couldn't be here, but he's one of our pastors and elders. And our beloved Bob Houghton, who just went home to be with the Lord. I mean, he was a faithful elder for so long as well. But we're grateful to have you guys up here with us. And we love you guys, and thank you for all you do for our church and our class and for the Church of the Lord. So first round of questions. So each one has multiple questions within it. If you like the questions, I came up with them. If you guys don't, Jeff did. All right. So the first round of questions, your history and involvement. So how long have you been serving in Joint Airs? We'll start with that. And then I guess how long have you been serving as an elder? How about, yeah, the youngest down there.
The youngest, okay. All right, so I came back to Grace Community Church May of 2014 and landed here in Joint Airs and never left. Soon after, John Street invited me to come to the leadership meetings. And on the first day that I went to leadership meetings, Bob Houghton said, "Who are you? And who told you you can come?" It was a deep question. There was a lot of questions, harder than this, of course. But I loved him for it ever since. And then this February will be 2 years, so, of being identified as an elder.
Awesome. Okay.
It was 10 years ago, and I think it's, I guess, maybe going on 11. I can't remember. I was pastoring at Cornerstone across the hall for 9 years, and Lance Quinn had been co-pastoring in here. And he had taken a church in Thousand Oaks, and so I came in to fill in for him. I thought, you know, I'll just help out John Street and do that. And then John Street goes to John MacArthur and says, can we have Tom? Behind my back, completely. And John says, that's a perfect fit. And so the next time I was here, I became a co-pastor here. And that was 10 years ago. So that's been a blessing. Oh, you're kind. And that's been a blessing. And then I don't know how long I've been an elder. I can't remember. I know it was before me. On your ordination council. Yeah. And I know, so I don't know, but I should have looked that up before I came up. But it's been a long time. Huh? 2001? No, that's how long I've been on staff. Oh, okay, if you think so, dear, that's right.
Right answer.
I stand corrected. Yes, it's been 25 years. Thank you. No, it's probably been more like 15. I don't know.
October 13th, 2011.
Well, thank you, database. Thank you very much. He is so good. If I have a question about anything, I go to, because you have access to things that I don't know how to do. So, 2011. There you have it.
It's a contact list for all the elders.
I need your help here in a minute.
All right, Rick.
I think I asked my wife about this. 2002, when I came here, it was really Jim Pyle kind of asked me if I would get involved in this group. And then I ended up becoming an intern with Jim for quite a few years. So, 2002. An elder, I think it was 2014. So, I became an elder.
August 21st, 2014.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, David.
The voice from on high, right here.
All right. So,
when was I born?
Lori, come on.
So, kind of in the same area here, what is your current ministry involvement in Joint Airs and probably in the church as well? And what does your work week look like? I know none of you guys are busy, but.
All right. So involvement with Join Heirs. It's a pleasure to be a part of the Sun Valley Bible Study that meets here at the church. Yeah, I'm grateful for that. And then that's first and third. And then let's see, what else do I do here? Sunday mornings in Join Heirs. Sunday evenings, I'm with the little kids, 3 to 5 year olds, Adventure Club with Trackers. And Angie and I have been doing that for, I think, going on 8 years. And then I help out with the council for Grace Advance. And that's, I'm working with 3 churches right now, so 3 pastors. And so I have 2 calls every week with those rotating of those 3 pastors. And then, let's see, a side gig that I do is I grade papers, which I just got done grading papers, which is good. And, yeah, I work at Grace to You. So normally I'm in a soundproof room all by myself. It's very lonely, so I have to get out, talk to people.
Call me from in there sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. We have good conversations. That's right. In any case, so Monday through Friday, that's my full-time employment. I work at Grace to You and then help out.
Spanish version called?
Gracias a vosotros. Sí, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Tom. Okay, so during the week, I lounge around. Right. And I suntan and I do all kinds of. No. So I am the co-pastor of Join Heirs, which is a privilege. During the week, I am called the pastor of pastoral care, which means that I take care of those people who are in the hospital or those people who are at home, who are homebound, and counsel their families if they're preparing themselves to die or whether the parents and family are preparing themselves for their loved one to die. I am there with them. And that's a great privilege, and Rick and I share in that responsibility, which is great. Even though he works with special ministries, we overlap, and that's a great privilege. And then I also am on Grace Advance, so I am dealing with churches not only in this country but also in Canada and other places where we do Zoom, and we're kind of like the elders over those churches until they get elders. And so we're kind of off-site elders, if you will, to help them. I also teach at the seminary, so I teach preaching, and so people come to me, and they'll do a 30-minute sermon, and then, you know, and don't be scared, because he's coming up next, and then I evaluate their preaching, and it's a great thing, and I probably listen to at least 4 or 5 sermons every week that I get to grade and talk about, so I'm always, it's constantly in my mind, and that's been a privilege, and I've done that for about 15 years and love it, and I don't know, let's see, what else would be... I'm Ranger Joe, yeah, so I'm Ranger Joe, which is like, I do announcements, and I basically do whatever I'm told to do, and I just feel like I'm in the Army. I just go from assignment to assignment to assignment, and I love it, and this church, I've been here since 1992, and so we've been blessed to be here. I was saved through John MacArthur's ministry. I was baptized here at the age of 30 years old, and so my whole life, really, from 30 till now, has started.
How old are you?
That would be very private. No, I'm fine about that. I'm 25, and no, I'm 64. I just turned 64, and yeah, I know it's amazing that I look so old, and but that's just because. What can you do? I just don't have the hair these guys do, so that's it. So, but that's my life.
All right, Rick.
Okay, so I can remember all this stuff. I don't know why I seem to get into a lot of different things, but I do take prayer the phone calls. We get phone calls during the week here, and I sort of help oversee that. We get some interesting calls.
Can I interrupt real quick? Yes. I am the new voice of the phone calls. So if you call in Grace Church, hi, you've reached Grace Community Church.
Really?
That's me, yeah.
We've needed that.
I got that going
we've
for
needed
me.
That. So, that'll, yeah. Maybe that'll help me out.
And then Rick answers the phone after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he goes, hello?
Then they're disappointed.
It's really true. Hi, I'm not here right now.
Anyway, we've had a Van Nuys Bible study for about, 25, 26 years at the Danarans. I've been over that for years. That's been a huge blessing for so many years. They're such a dear family. In fact, they used to do, during Christmas, they would play music for us. Jan and her husband Jerry and the kids, and it was really a joy there. Also, we have a Alzheimer's dementia meeting, which sometimes I think the Lord's got me in the right place because my brain is not working so good, but it's a blessing to serve over these people.
What's the name of that group?
Alzheimer's. Okay. I don't know what it was. So that's a joy. Shut-in ministry, obviously, you know, we work together on the shut-in ministry here. We're always trying to update shut-ins and people that can't make it to church. And that list has grown over the years, so it's a challenge to try to make sure that we, you know, reach out to these people that can't come to church. Obviously, special ministries is what I really got hired here for, so we have that ministry. And, yeah, so a lot of different things I do here. I'm pretty, you know, but it's a joy just to serve here.
Celebrating 50 years this year.
Yeah, for celebrating 50 years, and we're having a special event in January. So, and it's been a blessing just to, I think, and these guys would share with me, just to serve at this church and all the things that we do here. It's a joy and a blessing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and many of you can attest to these guys. They are nonstop all week long, calling on you guys, calling on people of the church in general, visiting. I know, you know, Tom came and visited me when I had a surgery last year, and we just hung out, and he kept me company in the hospital for a while. But you guys are all just awesome, so we appreciate you guys. You can clap for them. That's all right. All right, round two. See what time it is up there. All right, family and Christmas is this topic. So we'll start down with David again. Who is in your immediate family? We'll do with that first, and then I'll ask the second question.
Okay.
Dave's going to take a long time.
Here we go.
Yeah. hang on, Dave. So for a while here, when Dave first came, you know, I don't know if all of you know, I have six kids. So Dave came, we became very good friends, and he couldn't be outdone, and he ended up having seven kids. It was a competition between the two of us. So his list here on this question is going to be long. Yeah, overachiever.
All right, great intro, brother. I love it. Okay, so Isaiah is married, so he's in Arizona, and married Tatiana, and Emmy's with us. She's TMU, and then we have a couple in high school, Eva and Micah. And then everybody else is in grade school, and that's Bella, Lizzie, and Jeremiah.
Introduce Angie, please.
And my lovely wife, Angie. Yeah. January the 8th will be 26. Yeah, 26 years. And let's see, for Christmas, what was the question again? What is your favorite part?
No, hang on a second.
Oh, not yet.
We're going to go question by question. Hang on a second.
Okay, so that's meeting family.
Okay.
Mine is very short. No, I'm just kidding. I have three. So Josiah is 24, living in Nashville with Katie, who is our dear daughter-in-law. And we're going to visit them, actually. I don't know if that's part of the question, but we're going to visit them starting Tuesday. We're going to fly to Nashville. We'll be there. And then we'll be back for next Sunday. Then we have Tommy, who's 21, senior at Masters, doing shot put. And then Jude, 19, at Masters, who's just... You know, he's not here, so I can say he's just a genius. He gets that from his mom. And that's it. So we have our three wonderful boys. We're so blessed.
Introduce Lori. Everybody's sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lori Patton, my dear. 27 years. So, you know, we got that going for us. And she is delightful. And look at that red coat she has on. We've been saving that all year just for today. I mentioned Jude. Yeah, he's the 19-year-old. So good catch. This is Tony, my friend, who remembers everything. So Josiah, 24, Tommy, 21, and Jude, 19.
You want to ask Dave to make sure?
Is that right?
All right, Rick.
All right. Well, I don't have a lot of kids to go through. No kids, but we usually Christmas for us is having people over, obviously. My wife loves having people over our place all the time. So that's a joy.
Who's your wife?
Janelle, and we'll be 29 years coming up here January 18th. So 29 years of being married to a special wife. She keeps me in line.
Yes, she does.
She writes me little notes, reminders every day because I forget everything. She's it's a blessing from the Lord. But especially music has always been a big thing for Christmas for me. I grew up in a home of music. My dad, if you listen to any of Bing Crosby's Christmas music this year, my dad sings behind him, and I can hear my dad's voice. I can be in a store. I'll hear that song. There's my dad. I can hear him in the background. But my dad, worked on all those Christmas albums, and so it's a joy to have music and growing up in a family of music. So, all right.
All right. Thanks, guys. Okay. What is your favorite part of the Christmas season?
When the party stops and it's just us chickens, as Doug would say. When it's just the family. I think that's the most, I love it. They're still small, that still get hugs from them. And I still make the girls give me a kiss, so I just love. And then there's a few that will watch romantic comedies with Dad still. And so snuggling up with him, that's always good. So, a lot of Hot Cocoa fans, too. So that's what I love. I love being at home. Yeah,
it's the same with us. I'm thinking, what's the best time? Probably when the lights outside the house are done and then the tree is set and we've got Christmas music. And now, of course, you got the perpetual fireplace going with Christmas music and just being at home. Yeah, I just love it. And now we put up the lights before even Thanksgiving. We're just so adventurous, We're going like, you want to, because it just goes so fast, And then we would traditionally leave the lights up until February or until the HOA comes knocking on our door and saying, hey, what's going on? And we're going like, we're Christians. We love Christmas. And I just love it. We used to have a nativity scene that we would hide baby Jesus, and somewhere in the house. And if you could find him, you got some kind of fun things, money. And they would go searching the house. And the last year we did this, we actually couldn't remember where we hid him. But we found him a few years later, which is nice. So, those days were sweet as we're searching, and we can't remember. That was usually my fault, actually. Lori knows where everything is. If you just sit there and say, hey, where's that particular pair of socks? And she goes, boom, boom, boom. She knows exactly. But I'm looking for baby Jesus, and he's nowhere to be found. So, but those are such sweet, and we don't have any, children in terms of young, but we have our boys, and it's just so great. It's just like what you said, having children that believe is just such an amazing thing, where you can talk about the Lord and talk about things that are important and on the same level, be able to kid around and have fun and, watch a football game and be, normal. We feel so blessed. We really do. When they were first growing up, we told them, hey, when you're 18 years old, you're out of here. That's it. And now we're going like, do you want to stick around for a while? And
I just can't visualize you snuggling with Tommy watching a romantic comedy.
Did I? That's called being snuggled, I go, would you crack my back, please? Yes.
That's good. That's very practical.
All right, Rick.
I think we love to stay in our pajamas and watch Christmas movies all day and just eat. To me,
you need to get some pajamas.
That's it. That seems to cover all of it. So, it's just good to relax for a day and just do nothing, and we don't have to get up early, and so we enjoy that.
We're getting up at 3 a.m. to fly to Nashville, so we'll be enjoying a lot of that comfort on the plane, unconscious.
All right, I think you answered the last question, was what is Christmas like for your family, so I think we answered that one. Sounds like tradition, some tradition there, probably doing things with the family. So, all right, round three. A word of encouragement for the folks here, all of us here. What encouragement would you give our class as we close out another year and begin a new one? Dave?
Yeah, so I'm thinking of Galatians chapter 6 here. Take off my glasses in order to be able to see. Okay, so verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Actually, let's start verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of the faith. And I would just encourage you guys, 2025, I tell you, what a year. We've been all talking about that. There's a lot of things that has happened in this year. And my encouragement to my own heart, to you all, don't grow weary. We're not home yet. There's still a lot of work to be done. There are good works that God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in. Maybe that good this Christmas time is going to be a difficult good, meaning maybe there's approaching and addressing sin in your own hearts, let alone in others. Maybe it's forgiving, which is a hard thing to do. I remember Pastor John would always say, you're no more like God than when you forgive. I wrote a note of his message. He said, sorry, here, I got to tell you this, because the central thought of love is forgiveness. MacArthur 6:5:22. It is his forgiveness that defines his love. Doing good, especially the household of faith. Keep going. Keep at it. And you're not alone. We're in this together as a body of believers that are represented here as a local church. And it's such a joy to be here and join Ayers, where we make big church small. And thank you all for your love.
That was. I would echo everything that David just said. And just to add to it, I would say, examine your heart constantly to make sure that you're in the faith. Eternity is coming whether you're ready or not. And that's the most important thing, that you're in Christ. And take care of your marriage, I would say, to make sure that, because your reflection of who you are in Christ is seen in how you are in with your spouse in marriage. And I think that some people don't believe that. I think one time I had a guy that contested me on that, but of course his marriage was poor, and that's why. So if your marriage is strong, it could be that you have a strong marriage outside of Christ. People who are not Christians do, and they have human love, and that's fine. But a Christian marriage based on loving Christ as the central focal centerpiece is everything. Not to get too sentimental, but when I asked Lori to marry me, and she said yes, we decided, of course, we were going to get married, and on that day, before the wedding, I went to a pawn shop. Not a pawn shop. What, that's a horrible thing. What do you call it? Just a vintage store. And maybe some of it had been pawned. I don't know. And I went in, and I said, hey, is there anything that I could get? I want to give my bride something on the day. And today, it's like a few hours from now, so I was very prepared. And this lady, you know, escorts me back into this room, and there's this locket. And it was great. I go, oh, I like that. It's a locket. My wife likes lockets. And she picks it up, and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. It has an initial engraved on it. And I said, what? And she goes, it's an L. And I go, bingo, that's exactly it. And so she says, is there anything you want me to engrave in the middle? And I said, yes, engrave the number 3. And she kind of looked at me. I said, because it's my wife, myself, and the Lord Jesus, 3 of us, and 3 is everything. And that's how we look at it. And she's been with me through thick and thin and hard times and good times, and she makes it sweet. And I just think if you don't have that, you have nothing. So,
wow, you guys, good stuff. I taught on this last year, and I just thought this was really, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about, you know, when you look at Paul's life, all the suffering he had to go through and all the persecution he went through, at the end of the day, he says here in 2 Corinthians verse 16, says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though difficult times, we've had a lot of loved ones die this year. We lost our pastor this year, Jubilant Sykes. And Paul is saying, look, yes, we live in a difficult world. We're going to be persecuted for our faith. There's suffering all around us. But he says, don't lose heart in verse 16. Even the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. But then he says here a really important key statement here. He says, our momentary light affliction is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. He says, heaven outweighs any struggles we go through. You know, if you weigh the two together, heaven is outweighs it. And we've got that hope in the future of living. And we should live our lives for eternity. You know, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, but we make sure that we're walking close to the Lord. And our focus is on our home is in heaven. This is just a temporary place here right now. And whatever difficulties any of us go through, it's just a short time that we'll be with the Lord in heaven, and that's where our focus should be.
You coming back up, or I'll pray and we'll be done? All right. Yeah?
I was going to have a devotional, but I'll do that next time. I have 9 pages prepared.
In 10, that's a minute. We don't have 10 minutes.
No, it'd be a bit longer than that.
So you want to pray for us?
That's sure. All right. Of course. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Christmas season. And thank you for Join Heirs, as they are so precious and so faithful and so loving to us, all of us, especially Dave and myself and John and Rick. We are the glad recipients of what we believe is just undeserved love, because you have placed that love in their hearts. And when we speak the truth as you have commanded us, they hear that truth and they echo it back to us in gratitude and warmth and thanksgiving. And we cannot tell you how precious that is to us. We cannot tell you how much that means to our lives. You make them rich and full and deep because of the love we share with one another. So thank you for the Son of God who came, that created that love in our hearts, that granted that love to us through repentance, granted us the faith to believe on him as holy God. The fact that you, Lord, allowed us to see your word and to understand your word and to be clear about it is a gift immeasurable. And so we ask you just to continue to fortify us in the coming year. We do ask for a special blessing right now on Janie Street and John, as she's just not feeling well, and just to continue to build her up and strengthen her. What a precious gift they both are to all of us. Give them the sense of the fact that they are loved by all of us and that their health is vital to us all. And thank you for Grace Church, even as has been said in this season of hardship with the loss of those who we know are with you, Pastor John, jubilant, singing like he's never sung before, both of them in a holy duo. That must be incredible for them to be able to experience your love in that way in your presence. We are saddened because of the sin that creates death. We're saddened because of the circumstances that create violence. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would ground us in the hope of heaven and ground us in the hope of Christ, who forever is our intercessor and our peace. In Christ's name we pray.